Our church, Brazos Point Fellowship, has a purpose or a mission. And that mission, as many of you know, is guiding people to take their next step with God. And that's because following Jesus is a journey, and a journey implies next steps. Now, most of those next steps we take with God are usually small, but can still be challenging. Like for some of you, that first next step with God was to come back to church 3 times in a row. For others, it's to say hi to someone you don't know here at church, just so you can pass on that warmth that you received when you first started coming. Those next steps can get a little more challenging, though, but you're up to them. Like deciding to read through the book of John in the New Testament of the Bible, maybe even a couple of times through as a church journey through the book of John this year. Those steps can become even more challenging, like checking out a small group or serving in a ministry. Eventually, you may have to take a giant next step with God. That giant next step with God may be choosing to stay married because you made a commitment to God and your spouse to do that. That next step with God may be refusing to do something at work that's illegal or unethical, even though it may cost you your job, but you just cannot compromise on something that important. Now, that giant next step may be you leave a really good job where everyone's wonderful at work and everything is just right, but you know that God has called you to step away from that to go and help plant a church somewhere. People from our church have done every one of those things. Multiple people have done all those things. And here's the deal about next steps with God. They don't happen overnight. They happen one step at a time, and each step has a purpose, and that purpose is to help grow you into maturity in the faith, to help you become more and more like Jesus Christ. Well, today we're continuing our Godparent Message series, and just if you haven't been here, we're dividing it into 2 parts. Part one is we're showing the expression of love in 2 different levels. The first level, the part one I want to address right now, is God's love for us as our Heavenly Father. The second level we'll come back and talk about in a few minutes is the love of parents that we have for our children. Now, in week one, I shared about how God's love for us is demonstrated through this concept of grace. Grace, it's free, unmerited favor that God gives us. Grace is the bottom line of the Christian faith. Every expression of God's love is saturated with grace. Another expression of God's love is truth. Truth spoken in love, truth spoken with grace. Randy beautifully explained how that concept works last week. Truth spoken in love is sometimes painful. And I know it was painful for some of you to hear some of the things that he talked about last week. But folks, it's more compassionate to be truthful than to be silent when you know the truth about something that's very harmful to us and pulls us away from God rather than draws us to him. And so truth spoken in love, that's an expression of God's grace. Well, today we take the next step of this God-parent concept to see how God expresses his love for us through nurture. If you'd open your Bible or Bible app to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 7. And if you have a print Bible like mine, Ephesians is well into the New Testament, so it's much more than 3/4 of the way, probably 4/5 of the way through your Bible. You'll find Ephesians there, and or scroll way down. Well, now, this is such a rich portion of Scripture, and I wish I had time to go down deep and dig into it, because it shows us how our loving Father uses this thing called spiritual gifts to nurture our church towards maturity. Just as importantly, and this is what I want to talk about a little bit more, is it explains why that maturity is so important, why God nurtures us to maturity. Let's look at Ephesians 4:7. But to each one of us, and this means each one of us Christ followers, to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Now, the concept of grace here is expanded beyond what we described 2 weeks ago as saving grace. This is a different kind of grace. This is ministry grace. It's all a part of the saving grace, but it's ministry grace that nurtures us, that helps, that helps us to grow in our faith. Just as loving parents don't treat their newborns as babies forever, most of them don't. Anyway, God's grace is such and God's love is such that he doesn't treat us as spiritual infants forever. He nudges us along towards growth, and sometimes we feel that tension, That's God saying, take another step. Take another step. You can do this. Now drop down to verse 11. Let's see how he does this in the church. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, those are spiritual gifts, people with spiritual gifts, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, that's Jesus, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Verse 11 lists several spiritual gifts. This is someplace I can't really spend too much time on here, but let me just say this. Spiritual gifts are talents or abilities that God gives every Christ follower to help nurture us towards maturity, as well as to help us learn to serve others inside and outside the church. No one gets all of the spiritual gifts, but everyone gets at least one. And sometimes God gives a spiritual gift for a while and then gives another at a different time. So here's the deal, okay? The first thing to remember from this morning is we all have a work of ministry. Every one of us, we have a work of ministry because all of us have a spiritual gift. If you're not serving somewhere in the body, either here at church or serving in a way that helps build the kingdom of God somewhere, you have a spiritual gift that is not being used. Now, that serving could be a hundred things, okay? It's not just limited to these spiritual gifts I just mentioned here. But we all have spiritual gifts. The Apostle Paul gave different lists of spiritual gifts in other letters he wrote to churches, and it appears that his reason for these spiritual gifts here was to show us how to nurture one another to maturity. So Jesus Christ gives the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip all of the members of our church to carry out the work of the church. That's why our church motto, anybody know what our church motto is? Everybody serves. Everybody serves. That's our motto. And the reason for that is it's Christ's plan for the church. It's not just so that stuff gets done. It's because it helps build us up and grow us and nurtures us to mature in the faith. To sum it up, God has spread all kinds of giftings across our church to everyone to nurture us towards maturity. But here's the bigger question. Why is spiritual maturity important? Well, look back to verse 12. We'll look at halfway through verse 12. God equips us for service. He uses spiritual giftedness in people to equip us for service, verse 12, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith. I underline that, unity in the faith. It's so important. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. What is really cool about this unity that is so important is we achieve unity through a diversity of people and giftings. Unity does not mean uniformity. We don't all think alike. We don't agree on everything theologically. You can be a brother or sister without having to be a twin. That's unity. Here's something else worth noting about these spiritual gifts and our service. We cannot grow into Christian maturity by ourselves. We need others. Others help us grow. Sometimes through tension, sometimes through, steel sharpening steel. This kind of unity that God wants us to have in the church is desperately needed in our country. Our country is so divided on so many things. It's like we just look for ways to be divided. Just as the greatest gifts parents can give their children is to love one another unconditionally, I believe that church unity may be the greatest gift we can give to a lost world. Them seeing us being unified when we have different beliefs and we have different opinions about things, but we're still unified in this purpose. Beloved, we have the power through Jesus Christ to reach unity, but we have to care more about loving one another than we care about our own personal preferences, or more than we care about our politics, or even our theology. As important, especially as those last two are. They are important. I'm not taking away from them. But unity and loving one another is more important. It's most important among brothers and sisters in Christ. God designed the church such that while we are doing the work of ministry, serving him to bring honor and glory to God, that we'll grow into unity and maturity. That's how it works. Just parents nurture children to maturity so they don't have a perfectly healthy 200-pound 21-year-old baby sitting at the house doing nothing. Parents, we nurture our children in the same way God nurtures us through encouraging us to take next steps with him so that we don't stay infants in the faith. Now, that's the thought behind this next verse. Look what happens when we focus on building one another up, on loving one another in unity. Verse 14, then we will no longer be infants. Talking about spiritual infants here. We will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. This is exactly what Randy talked about last week when he was referring to the shifting sands of culture and the constant redefinition of truth by the same people changing it to change to fit their changing ideas. This is something where so many people, not everybody, but so many people in our entertainment, in academia, in media, and on the political left and right are constantly scheming to deceive us. Constantly happening. The only way to stand firm and to stay unified and understand what the truth is to grow up into maturity. Then we will no longer be spiritual infants. And we can point our world and ourselves to a better way. Then, look at verse 15, then instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. If the church body is mature, you know why? It's because we as individuals are growing and maturing in our faith. We're taking our next steps with God. I long for us to be this growing, more mature body. And I see so many signs of this happening. I'm encouraged. But I long for that, for our church to be this mature church body with Jesus as the head, offering grace to one another while speaking the truth in love. To get there, let me ask you this question. What is your next step with God that will help us get there? What is your next step with God? Is it to start serving somewhere? Is it to take some next step that God has revealed to you that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about right now, but you know right now, you might want to write that down. What is your next step with God? I would encourage you to take that next step. Let me pray for you. God, thank you so much for giving us life in your son, Jesus. And thank you for not leaving us there, not making it just some kind of a one-off decision, and then we just go along with our life purposeless and aimless. Thank you for pointing the way to growth and maturity. Thank you for showing us how we can have unity with people who are so incredibly different than us. But our unity is based on our love for you and that love you give us for one another. And that love is so freeing. God, set us free in the unity of your love. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God, that last line, nothing, no one can stand between us. Lord, that's our thought today as we pray for unity, Lord, that we would be so aware of your presence with us, so excited about your love for us that we want to share that with others and just to pour the overflow of that love out to others. And God, as we come at this time of the year, there's a lot of things that are changing right now. Lord, I pray that you'd give grace to our students and teachers as they go through the last few weeks of school and our college students as they, maybe it's just the last couple of days. God, with us as we transition, as some families are seeing their kids finishing their secondary education and getting ready for that next step, that job, that school. They're stepping into service. God, be with them as they take those next steps. Bless them. And God, I continue to pray for the war to end in Eastern Europe. Lord, that you would bring that to a halt. Lord, thank you, though, for the beautiful things we've come out of that, seeing so much unity against just evil and hatred, seeing churches across Eastern Europe taking in refugees and loving them, and even churches in Russia where some refugees had nowhere to go but into Russia. Lord, thank you for the churches that call you Lord, that know this isn't right, and they're doing their part just to love on the people that have been displaced by that. Lord, be with us. Bring us, the church especially, to unity across this congregation and around the world. I ask that in Jesus' strong name. Amen. You've heard me talk from time to time about how I feel like in leading our church staff, I'm the coach of an all-star team. I want you to meet some of our all-stars here. These are some incredible ladies. They're all high-capacity leaders in their different areas. There are Erin Martin. She is our preschool minister. Yeah. Cindy Trout, our children's minister. And Alex Dunson, our associate student minister. Listen, I'll get right to it. We want to make that transition from God maturing us as individuals and into the church to parents helping nurture their children to maturity as well in the same way that God loves us. So let's look at that. And let me ask this first question for each of you. Tell us how you as a mom and a minister, tell us who you are as a mom and a minister. Give us a brief introduction. We'll start with Erin.
As he said, my name is Erin Martin, and we are the parents of two adult children, a son and a daughter who is getting married in less than a month, and I am the preschool minister here.
My name is Cindy Trout. I am the mom of two girls, a seventh grader, and I'm getting ready to see my senior off to college soon, and I'm a single mom.
My name is Alex Denson, and I am the associate student minister, and I am a new mom to a four-year-old. We had just adopted our daughter through the foster to adopt process this year.
Okay, we're going to hear some beautiful things about that in a moment. Let's go down the line again, and let's ask you, what have you learned about God's love? Before we get into how you do ministry, what have you learned about God's love from being a mom?
I learned what it really, truly means to have unconditional love for your children. There is nothing in the world that my kids could do that would make me not love them. I didn't necessarily always like them, but I always loved them.
There's a Bible verse, and it says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness." This verse has gotten me through the toddler tantrums, the why is my junior high kid looking at me like this phase, and as I'm getting ready to move into this next phase, did I teach my senior everything that she needs to know? And the truth is I've made mistakes and I've missed things, but it's okay because God's grace is so sufficient. He covers things that I don't even realize that I've missed.
Well, a lot, like Erin said, I've learned a lot about God's unconditional love, and having a daughter come into our home, I wasn't sure how natural that mother's love would come or how long it would take until I felt this love for her, but it was instant. And I knew that that's just how God loves me, too. He loves me unconditionally, no matter what. And I know one day she may have questions about her past or her birth family, and that could come with some pain or anger or doubt or even more questions. And it just reminds me a lot about my relationship with God, too. I can be angry with him. I can doubt him. I can have questions, but he's going to love me no matter what and love me unconditionally through all of those things, just like I will always love my little girl. But also, the journey to motherhood was not easy, but I learned a lot about God's goodness and faithfulness. This was a very long journey, and it was really hard mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And if you are in this room and you are in that season of waiting and you're longing to be a mom and hold your child in your hands, I just want you to know that I see you and I understand a lot of the pain or the hurt or the grief or frustration that you may feel, because Mother's Day was a day that I dreaded for a really long time. And so now that I finally get to celebrate today, I just can't help but think of you and those of you who are waiting for God to answer your prayers. But I just want you to know that he is working and he is good and he is faithful, because now that I'm a mom and I can see all that God has done, he was working from the very beginning, from the moment that my husband and I decided that we were ready to start our family to the time she was placed in our home. He was working that whole time. So if you think that he can't hear your prayers, or if you think he's not there, I promise you he is. And he doesn't promise us that we get to be mothers, but it does say in the Bible that if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. And if your desires align with his, he's going to make a way. It just might not look the way you had hoped or you had expected, but it'll be much better than that. And so there's a lot more to this story that one day you might get to hear, but I've just learned so much about the goodness and faithfulness of God.
One day you will hear, because there is so much more. And it's a beautiful story of Caleb and Alex and how they, as much as their faith in God was tested, they just continued on to stay firm and keep trusting God and lean into him. And I look forward to that time when you can see that and experience their story and see how God was working that whole time. Can't wait for that. And we'll talk about adoption too during that. Okay, so let's go in reverse order. What have you learned about God's love from being a next-gen minister? And let's just start with you, Alex, okay? Work with our students once they hit adolescence.
Yes, so one thing I've learned about God's love is his patience and his grace. And if you are the parent of a teenager, you might understand a little bit about the grace and patience that's needed. I know I've learned that just dealing with our students. And student ministry is so much fun. Like, we have a ton of fun on Wednesday nights in our events and camps coming up. By the way, today's the last day to sign up for high school camp. So if you're a high school student, sign up for camp. So it's going to be so much fun. But just on Wednesday nights, that's when we get to gather our students during the school year and come together for a small group. And we just have students that come to us from all different backgrounds, from different home situations. And what's been really fun about this year is we have a really large international exchange student group. And so I've learned just a lot about God's love through them, watching how God has impacted their lives the past 9 months and how he's grown each of them. It just made me realize that God's love for me is the same love that he has for these students, and that he can reach someone, even though they're from a different country, they're here, and there's a language barrier, like his love is the same, and it's not changing, and so that's just been really sweet.
Yeah, we have some key leaders in the exchange student program. They're always looking for homes, and you might want to do that. If you're interested in that, then talk to Alex, and she'll connect you with them and tell you about how you could have an exchange student in your home. A real rich experience. Okay, well, Cindy, tell us how you have learned more about God's love from being a children's minister.
Perseverance at camp.
Yeah.
No, that's one of the things. But also, all people are made in God's image, and that includes these kids. And they are creative and fun. And if you want to experience that creativity and that fun, you should come hang out with us on Sunday mornings, and you will get to experience that firsthand.
I told all three of them to shamelessly recruit people for their ministries, as well as coming to camps and serving. So keep it going. Keep going, Cindy.
But also, these guys, if you sit down across from a 7-year-old or a 10-year-old, you'll see they are so kind and so compassionate. They actually see people in a really cool way. They see the small things that people need and the big things. And you can learn so much about how God sees us, even whenever we feel unseen. And they have so much empathy. They want to be part of something bigger. They're amazing.
All right. So now, tell us, Aaron, how you have seen God's love through being a preschool minister.
So God's love is communicated through smiles, games of peekaboo, bubbles, playing in a small kid's kitchen, playing with trucks, talking about shoes, and pets, and grandparents, and just listening to preschool stories, and watching them worship in Clubhouse. These are all ways that we build a solid foundation for our preschoolers to learn and to trust a God that they can't see or hear. And if you like to read books, or pop bubbles, or play with trucks, come see me and let's talk, because I've got a perfect place for you.
Yeah, there you go. I'm so proud of them. You know, something else that wasn't prepared that I wanted to ask Aaron is, you know, when you think of preschool, maybe you're thinking of just childcare, and we never use that phrase when we're talking about Sunday morning experience, because it's not just childcare. They're not just watching and playing with your kids while you're in here. They are teaching them, because preschoolers can learn about God's love. Aaron, tell us how that happens, even with preschoolers.
So preschoolers are little sponges, and they soak up everything. And one of the first things that they can learn by being dropped off back there is trust. Nothing communicates to a child more than trust, watching their parents hand them over to two strangers in a classroom. And that communicates a sense of trust that they can eventually build on and learn to trust God in the same way. But we take it very seriously in what we do. And we're not just playing back there. We're teaching lessons while we're playing. And, you know, it's always good to teach a preschooler that it's not very kind to hit your friend with a toy on the head. So, but we can teach them all about God's love and just the little things that we say and do in the hour that we have them every Sunday.
I think they continue reinforcing that in children and student ministry from time to time. I enjoy so much watching what they do here, and I want you to know how everything seamlessly works together. We talk to you a lot about being in adult small groups, and that's such an important part of a building community, and we want all of you to be involved in adult small groups, but we also have student small groups, and we have children's small groups that meet here on Sunday morning while we're meeting here, and we have preschool small groups. They learn this need to be in small groups from the very beginning. So everything is very intentional all the way through. It's a very natural thing for them to go and be involved in those small groups. So let's go phase by phase as we look at, see how we actually do this work and this ministry. And this is kind of where I've given them the opportunity to preach a little bit to you and just be very direct in speaking that truth and love. And let me just ask this question for you to go on. What are some of the keys to making disciples of our children and for helping grow their faith? Okay, let's start with preschoolers first, Aaron.
So with our preschoolers, the first thing we want all of our preschoolers to know is that God made them, God loves them, and Jesus wants to be their friend forever. And we consider that a win if they know these three things before we pass them on into elementary ministry. And we play into that sense of wonder. Preschoolers are curious and have a sense of wonder. And so when you're with your preschoolers, the best thing that you can do is just point out things that God made. He made the trees. He made the flowers. He made the birds. He even made the snakes and the bugs. And just point those out as you're going through your daily life. And then start to build habits with your preschoolers to develop that sense of discipleship with them. You can read a Bible story at night before they go to bed and then pray over them as they're laying down every night. If you take these small little habits and continue to grow them as they go off into kindergarten, you're going to have many different things that you already do to build their faith, and you are the one helping them grow their faith.
Okay, Cindy, give us some of the keys to making disciples of children.
So our elementary and preteen kids, they think like scientists. They want to be hands-on. They want to read the Bible and learn. They want to be challenged to pray out loud, and they definitely want to serve together as a family. And especially when you get into that preteen phase, they ask these really big, crazy, hard faith questions. This is good. This means that they're wrestling with their faith. And the cool thing is whenever they come out on the other side of that, their faith is theirs. They believe what they believe because it's what they've had a chance to wrestle with, not because it's what it's been told to them. And that's why I love our small group leaders, because they give them that safe place to do that in. And that's also another thing, is making church presence a priority on Sundays is huge, because this is a chance for them to build in that habit. I know as I'm getting ready to see my senior go off to college, we talk a lot about joining a local church. I want her to have adults that are pointing her in the same direction, friends that are pointing her in the same direction, and that have a biblical worldview. And then if you've been around for a while, then you've probably heard us say this. 100 years from now, it doesn't matter if our kids are Olympic gold medalists, if they were captain of the soccer team, if they're president of the United States. The only thing 100 years from now that will matter is a relationship with Jesus. And the church plays a huge role in this.
And that key is being consistent here, where this is more of a priority than many other things. Okay? Alex, tell us how this works. What are some of the keys to developing disciples in student ministry?
Yeah, and as you mentioned earlier, small groups and having that community for students is such a huge part in them growing their faith. For them to be able to sit once a week in a circle with 5 to 8 other students who are in the same grade as them, who are going through the same things as them, and just to have a safe space to be able to talk is so huge for them to be able to grow in their faith. And also there's 1 or 2 small group leaders, adults that are in those groups, and having an adult other than a parent in your student's life is a huge thing for them to grow their faith, because you might know as a parent, especially a parent of a teenager, you might not think that your student is hearing you or listening to you, but having another adult who can reinforce that relationship and have the respect for you, but also be able to speak truth and encourage and challenge your teenager to grow in their relationship with God is so, so important for that student to have a foundation, so that whenever they become an adult, they can have that foundation of faith. And also, another huge thing is serving. A lot of our students are able to grow in their faith by serving others. We have students who serve in preschool, in children's ministry, and in preteen. And also, we have students serving other students on Wednesday nights. We have an awesome student serve team who show up early and stay late to set up and tear it down and just help with all these things. And it's just helping with that spiritual maturity and just helping them be selfless and learn to be more like Christ in serving and loving others. And so I think being in community, having another adult, and serving are just some really key things and also a serving. We have an awesome college group of students who were students in our ministry and have come back and are serving our junior high and high school students. And so it's just really neat to see those young adults grow stronger in their faith by serving those junior high and high school students. And even our summer interns from the past few years are actually former students. And so seeing them want to come back and have grown spiritually and just being able to serve our current students has been really cool.
I was thinking of so many things that I'm seeing happening or I've seen happen as you were talking. I took a lot of comfort as a parent when my boys were coming up through children's ministry and then student ministry, that I knew that there were some adults that I trusted that my kids might talk to if they didn't feel like they could talk to me about it. Or if they got in trouble and were too embarrassed to talk to me, they had someone they could call. And I took a lot of comfort in that. And then seeing students share and grow and serve, this last hour after between services, we had a baptism of a 10-year-old. And when we were getting ready to baptize her, I said, is there anyone here? I was thinking of family that's not here yet that you're waiting on before we do the baptism. And she goes, I'm waiting on my small group leaders, my teachers. Those teachers are seniors in high school. They're about to graduate. And they've spent the last year or two, and they were telling me what a powerful young lady this 10-year-old was. And then her parents were telling me how she actually helps lead out in the faith some. It's a beautiful story of all of us working together and growing. And one last thing I just thought of as you were talking was during the pandemic, and I know in some degrees it's still going on, it's still giving its last breath here, but during the pandemic, in the darkest days of the pandemic, we were struggling trying to keep things going. Student ministry was thriving, and they did the right pivots at the right time and continue to grow. And now we are reaping the benefits of that. We have some incredibly strong high schoolers and young adults that are in college and some are working that are just knocking it out of the park, and they're doing so many powerful things. We have an awakening going on here that we are going to be benefiting from for years into the future right now. And as some of your parents, you may not see it in your kids. I want you to know they're doing some incredible things right now. Okay, well, we have one more level. How do you see, what are some of the keys to making, Alex touched on it, she'll probably come back and give a few more ideas, but what are the keys to seeing, to making disciples of our young adult children, whether they're in college or serving or working somewhere? What are some of those keys? And I'll let you start, Aaron.
So with two adult children, I would say keep the lines of communication open and don't give advice unless they ask for it. I try to point them back when they come to us with something and ask them, you know, have you prayed about it? Have you asked God for his direction in the situation? But Jim Burns wrote a book, and I bought it based only on the title. I have not read it yet, but it's called Doing Life with Your Adult Children. Keep the welcome mat out and your mouth shut.
I bought the book and read the book. And I would strongly recommend it to any of you who have adult children. It is so good, and that's the best advice, but there's lots of good advice. It's funny at times. It's also hit some tough areas for those of you that have adult children that have moved away from the faith and don't agree with the same things you agree with, and it deals with those very directly. I would encourage you to jump on that book. We have several books in our, all these. If you put up on the screen the resources that we have, yeah, there's a sheet of paper that looks identical to that you can pick up at the GuideMarks Resource Center. We have several of these books here. You can go buy them if they're still left. I would encourage you to do that. And then also, if we've already sold out, you can get this and then order them online. And I can think of reading a book that's not on here called Adolescence Isn't Terminal. I was a student minister with lots and lots of experience with teenagers, and I had no idea what the next step was going to be with one of my teenage boys, and that book helped me out. And so take advantage of resources, take advantage of these folks to help you with that, and they can. Well, anything else, Aaron, before we go to Alex? Okay, well, go ahead.
I was just going to say we were serious about if you want to talk to us about volunteering. If you want to have your entire world rocked, showing up every Sunday morning and experiencing life with these kids is amazing, and it will change everything.
Yeah. Alex, you work with our college a lot, and then you just keep in touch with some of those kids that aren't here anymore. But do you see any other keys we haven't mentioned that you could talk about to helping them grow as disciples?
Well, one thing we tell our senior small group leaders, we just had our senior dinner, is we pull them aside and we tell them, just kidding, you're not finished yet. There's a fifth year that we don't talk about, and we just see those students through, and those leaders are just another adult who's checking in, texting them, hey, how's school going? Or hey, how's your job? Have you found a church yet? And so just being able to have someone that can pray for them, hey, how can I pray for you this week? Or just praying, I think that goes for any phase, praying for your kids or for any students that you know in your lives, and just having that line of communication open, knowing that no matter what they've done, they have a safe place that they can come back to.
Let me tell you what's really neat about being a small group leader, regardless of which area of Next Gen it is. Sometimes you stay in touch with them. You may not move up into the next level, but those kids still know you, and they come back and talk to you. Several years ago, some of the sweetest memories I'll have of serving at this church were the years, about 5.5 years, when I served as a small group leader for a bunch of boys west of the Brazos. It was Columbia and Sweeney High School guys, and that in itself was fun. If you know anything about the Battle of the Brazos and all that, but it's been several years now since I finished that group, and I'm not leading a boys' small group anymore. But just in the last 6 months, I've had three of those young men. They're all, some are married, most are out of school, some are still in school, and I've had three of them call me or talk to me about an issue that was going on, and they're just continuing to keep that connection there, and I continue to be able to help them. And just know that when your kids get connected with small group leaders here, that benefit can go on and on and on, or the benefit for you as a small group leader can help. So I'm going to, anything else anyone wants to say here before I wrap it up?
I'm going to redo that plug that I did out of order while ago.
No, that's it. Go for it.
We really will be waiting over here. We would love to get you guys plugged in if you would like to help us on Sundays.
Yeah, they'll be here at Connection Point right here. I'll be over there too, but I know you probably want to talk to them. And others will be here at the prayer corner if you need someone to pray with. But we want to help you. We're in this together. And this is just an exciting time in our church life with all the things that God is allowing us to do with our Next Gen ministry and how that just spills over into helping mature our whole church. There's other facets of our church, but this is one that I always love highlighting. And now you know why I feel like an all-star coach. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for these godly women and so many others, both on staff and volunteers that just give so much behind the scenes that no one ever really notices other than you and those students and children they're working with. Lord, thank you for them. Thank you for what they do. Thank you for this faith that you have given us that leads us to maturity. God, thank you for how you let us be a part of that nurture and how you nurture us. God, help us to take part and willingly follow you and take our next steps with you. I bring this to you in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to see a couple of other things. Watch the screen here for our announcements.